A ruler once came to Jesus by night to ask him the way of salvation and life. The master made answer in words true and plain, he must be born again. He must be born again. He must be born again. I
Hello and welcome to the Olmsted Baptist Church radio broadcast, preaching Jesus Christ, crucified and risen from the dead, for the forgiveness and salvation of sinners, and returning to the earth soon to rule and reign as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And now, here is Pastor Jim Duke with today's message.
I'm thankful you tuned into the broadcast again this time. We're picking up our study here in Matthew 16, Matthew chapter 16, verse number 24. The Lord Jesus has shown his disciples about the things that he's going to accomplish in Jerusalem. His suffering, the rejection of the elders and the priests against him, and the scribes and such, that he's going to be killed, and then the third day he's going to raise from the dead. Peter denies that. He says, no, that's not going to be the case with you. There's not going to be such harm come to you, such rejection. No, no, no. But the Lord challenges and tells Peter, he rebukes him sternly and directly, very plainly and soberly he rejects him. He says, get thee behind me, Satan. Your position is that of Satan. That's the crowd that this attitude and this thinking goes with Peter. You're an offense to me, he says unto him in verse 23. You don't savor the things that are of God. You savor what a man wants, what is savory to men. And you don't want me to be abused. You don't want me to lose my life and to give my life. But the thing is, that's what God has ordained to be done, so that you and so that sinners can be saved, so the children of God can be saved. And so he makes this rebuke unto Peter and rebukes him and gives this stern rebuke unto him. And in verse number 24, then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. And as we mentioned last time, the taking up of this cross is not two timbers or a timber on your shoulder to carry around on this earth. It's not talking about a physical two timbers made into a T, which is an implement of torture and execution. He's not talking about that. He's talking about the burden of the calling of the Lord. Jesus had a burden of the calling of God Almighty upon him to come and be our Savior. And so it's to be with the children of God. We are to have a burden about what it is that our Lord wants us to do. Our cross, our calling. Jesus was called of God, sanctioned by the Father to do the will of the Father in fulfilling the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection, that atoning and redemptive work for the salvation of sinners, the salvation of his people. And that was the burden of the Lord. As we've seen, I think even in this book, even in this gospel, the Lord Jesus was so intent on ministering to the people and healing people, and his disciples would come to him and say, oh, Lord, you need to eat. You're wearing out. You're going to wear away doing this. And the Lord Jesus says, I've got meat to eat that you know not of. For my meat is to do the will of the Father. And so that's what he's saying here. For anyone to come after and follow the Lord, self has got to be denied. Peter, you need to deny what you think is best and your desire for me to live and to not be harmed. And you need to take up the burden that the Lord can give you and has given you, and follow me. Follow the Lord. The Lord was burdened, and he bore his cross in the fulfilling of his gospel. And that's what this cross speaks about. It doesn't speak about two timbers. It speaks about the burden of the Lord to fulfill his gospel. And he says, for whosoever, verse 25, will save his life shall lose it. save your life and use it for yourself, you're going to lose it. And whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. Lose your life for my sake, you will find it indeed. You will find it indeed. For what is a man profited, verse 26, if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? What will he give? What is it that someone can give to redeem themselves, to rescue their soul from hell and the lake of fire, from the wrath of God Almighty? What is it that one can give? There's nothing that we have that we can give. Salvation is of the Lord, and we need that salvation. We need the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And He, having given His life for us, who are we to hold back our lives in giving them for His sake? He says, what's a man profit if he gained everything in the world, the whole world itself, and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Lose your life for my sake, and you'll find it. Verse 27, for the Son of Man shall come in the glory of His Father with His angels, and then He shall reward every man according to his works. Verily I say unto you, there be some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the Son of Man coming in His kingdom. And so the Lord tells, the Son is going to come. The Son is going to live. The Son is going to experience and be restored back to the glory of His Father. He's going to return with His angels, and He's going to be the judge. He's going to be the rewarder of His children and their obedience and their giving up of their physical lives on this earth for His sake, to follow Him, the finding of their lives through obedience to Him. And He says this in verse 28, there's some standing here that they're not going to die until they see the Son of Man coming in His kingdom. He tells about something that's going to happen here in the future. He tells that there's some at hand there amongst His apostles that are not going to die. They're not going to pass away until they see something. Something that will help them, something that will be a convincing to them of the focus that they need to have. The Lord Jesus had told Brother Peter, He said, you don't savor the things that be of God, Peter, verse number 23. You savor those things that be of men. He said, there's some that are going to see the Son of Man coming in His kingdom. They're going to see some glory and some power of that. And that's going to help them to savor the right things. That's going to help them to savor the right things. You and I, we don't need signs. But the Lord Jesus does work with His children. And in this day, there was no New Testament written yet. It was being accomplished. They were in the midst of it being done. And the Lord has promised something to some of His disciples, some of His apostles there, that they're going to see the Son of Man coming in His kingdom. They're going to see Him in His glory and His power, that they might understand not the way of men and the desire of men. That's not what's important. What's important is the desire, the will, the way, and the word of God Almighty. That's what Jesus came and did and fulfilled and pursued as a man when He became a man. Chapter 17 of Matthew, verse number 1. And after 6 days, nearly a week, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, His brother, and bringeth them up into a high mountain apart. So it's just Jesus and Peter and James and John. And so in the previous chapter, the Lord said in that last verse that there were some there, some standing here, which shall not taste of death till they see the Son of Man coming in His kingdom. And so Peter was the one that spoke up and said, now this is not going to be to you, Lord. It won't be that you're going to be denied, be abused, and be killed. That's not going to be. You know what? Peter spoke, but it could be well that there was other brethren there that were shaking their heads in agreement with Peter. And because Peter was speaking, he got the direct rebuke when the Lord spoke back to him, said, "Get thee behind me, Satan." That's the company you're keeping, Peter, with that thinking and that attitude. So now Peter, James, and John, they're taken with the Lord. The Lord takes them up into a high mountain apart. And what's the scripture say? "And he was transfigured before them. He was changed. And his face did shine as the sun." Oh, trying to look into the sun is a dangerous thing. You'll lose your sight if you do. And Brother Matthew writes here that in the account that the Lord's Jesus' face, his face did shine as the sun, that bright or brighter. "And his raiment was white as the light," the brightness of the light of the sun and the stars. "And behold, there was appeared unto them Moses and Elias," or Elijah. So Moses and Elijah are talking with him, with the Lord Jesus. "Then answered Peter and said unto Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make here three tabernacles, one for thee, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." And so, and it says here Elias, but I want us to understand that that's Elijah. And so they're taken up on this mountain, and they're on this high mountain apart. Nobody else is there, just the four of them, Jesus and the three apostles. And he was changed. This transfiguration, his glory begins to shine out from his own person. His face shines as the sun. His raiment was white as the light. He can hardly be looked at for the brightness of it. And the next thing you know, they know there's Moses and Elijah there talking with the Lord Jesus. Oh, the work of God. The work and the pursuit of that work of God. There's nothing more important. There's nothing more eternal. There's nothing greater than the pursuit and the work of God Almighty. Here Jesus, his glory that has been squelched down for so many years, for 30 plus years, as he has was conceived of God within Mary, and then she carried him and she delivered him, and he in that conception became a man and lived apart from the glory that he had with the Father, and all the things that he submitted himself to in becoming a man, and now his glory is able to shine. And it was no doubt a blessing to him, and it was a blessing unto them. And who do you have here? Moses shows up. Moses, most revered by the Jews, a prophet of God indeed, the first prophet of God that we see in the scriptures, and by him, the first five books of the Bible written, the Pentateuch, and he's there. And as the scripture tells us, they're talking about his death, that he should accomplish at Jerusalem. And they hear him talking about that, as it tells us in other gospels. And so here the Lord is showing these men the work of God, not the work of men, but the work of God. Well, I see that our time has passed for now. May the Lord bless you with the good word and truth of his gospel. Farewell until next time.
Thank you for tuning in and listening to our broadcast. We wish to invite you, your family, and friends to our services on Sundays at 10 a.m., 11 a.m., and 2 p.m., and Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. Olmsted Baptist Church is located in southwest Logan County, Kentucky, just 2.5 miles off of U.S. Highway 79. Between Russellville and Guthrie, turn on to State Route 775, also known as Olmsted Road. Drive 2.5 miles and you'll find our church house on the right, just beside Whipple Reel Creek. We are interested in any questions or comments you might have about our broadcast. Feel free to contact us by telephone at 270-726-3954, by email at obchurch@gmail.com, or on the web at www.olmstedbaptistchurch.org. Tune in next time for another edition of the Olmsted Baptist Church radio broadcast.